Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Titus. Titus 1.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome to our program this night. It's Monday, June 10th, 2019. We thank God for you. We thank God for you taking time out of your schedule and being part during the program this evening. For all those who have called in at 646-668-2636, we thank God for you. We see you there on the keyboard on the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad. I'm expecting a couple of brothers to come in and be guests tonight and share. If you can hear me, just press 1 on your keypad and we'll bring you into the conversation. Also, again, just as a reminder, we are live on Mondays at 8 p.m., on Thursdays at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And we ask that you join us. You also can reach out to us on Facebook at Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. We post words of encouragement, devotionals, upcoming men's events in area. We're here in the Baltimore, D.C. area, local events, national events. There's a lot of conferences. We have, matter of fact, this weekend coming up, we have a men's huddle, prayer huddle in D.C. here on the Great Lawn in between the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial. So if you're free, come on out, join us for that. It should be a nice sunny and warm day this Saturday. So the men are gathering there. Also, as we all know, Father's Day weekend this weekend. But also, I wanted to put something out there for the brothers out there, an opportunity to serve on Father's Day. Brother Rico Crawley has a ministry of God's Giving Hands, where they go out every third Sunday at 3 p.m. to feed the homeless in Baltimore. They have two locations. One is near St. Vincent's Church, for those in the Baltimore who's familiar. And also there's a men's shelter. I'm trying to remember where it is, but it's right there at the Falls Way and Gay Street. Gay Street and the Falls Way. There's a men's shelter there, and they set up in the grassy park area there and feed the brothers, bring them clothes, toiletries, warm meals, fruits, all donated things. So we encourage them. They always need volunteers to help with the labor, help hand out, help minister, help pray with the brothers. Just engage the brothers, have a conversation, let you know someone cares about them, even in the midst of their struggles. So that's this Sunday, Father's Day, from 3 p.m. I know he starts at 3 p.m. and he's usually there until dark. He has the two locations going. So we encourage you, if you feel free to serve, to reach someone on Father's Day. Because remember, you know, by the grace of God, there goes I. Those men out there may be fathers, if they definitely are someone's son, but they may be fathers, and Father's Day, for whatever reason, your circumstance, you know, they're out there and could be used as encouragement. Amen? Amen. So I just want to put that out there also. If you go on our, again, if you go on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, I have the link in the post with the information and details. And also, as always, he's always looking for donations of food, of toiletries, socks, underwear, tennis shoes. And I'll say this for the brothers out there. We need some brothers to donate some 2X and 3X shirts. We have some brothers out there who need, and they are big and tall. Amen. So they need a big and tall size. It's always those donations, also shoes, socks, water, any food product, any foods, you know, snacks, anything that you can use that we can feed the brothers for the month. He goes out there monthly, every third Sunday. Amen. So I just wanted to use that. That's my commercial break for tonight. Also, to encourage you, there's so much going on. Church of the Redeemer of the Lord, every first Friday, men's gathering and discussion man to man. And that's led by Dr. Ronnell Hall at Church of the Redeemer of the Lord there on York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. Just want to give him a shout out for the brothers out there. Amen. Well, before we get into tonight, again, tonight we're going to be having a discussion. We're going to be talking about some of the highlights. I recently attended a marriage conference with my home church, the Jesus Lives Marriage Conference, that was held back in May 31st and May 2nd. Senior Pastor Jesus Lives is Pastor George Sharps, and it was hosted and facilitated by Pastor Joseph and his wife Linda Powell. And they talked about, it's about being real in our marriage, and they touched on a lot of things. And tonight, I just want to be able to come back, talk about the highlights and insights that were shared with it. And I do believe Pastor Paul's called in as someone here. Hopefully that's him. But anyway, we're going to be talking about some of the highlights and insights and about that and share. We call it the husband. We call in this series because the things we talked about husbands. This is going to be the husband class 201. This is part two of husband class 201. We call it 201 because some of the issues that we talked about, for all of us, for those of us who have been married a while, kind of a couple of years in, usually the first 5 years is basically figuring each other out. But now I've noticed even in my own life, and I've been in the church for a while in the body of Christ, and known couples who have struggled. So that fifth year to that 15th year, things tend to change, things tend to shift, relationships, focuses, you have children growing up, maturing, a lot of pressure, a lot of things are going on, careers, some people start to settle in their careers or still haven't settled into their careers, and there's a lot of changes that can affect marriage and affect your marriage relationship, and those are the times we have to be on point, because to be honest and truthful and transparent, at 5 to 10, 15 years, a lot of marriages fail. In the church, well, I'll testify to the ones that I know of folk who were in the church and didn't make it to the 15-year mark. Amen? And I think those are some of the critical years, but I call this, and also we want to talk, and I want to encourage the brothers listening who are in their second marriage, because that's a whole other thing, but I think it's the same principle. We have to be attentive. We have to be focused. We have to be on point with our marriage and understand that God created marriage, and God can heal most, well, I'm not going to say most, I'm going to say all things can be worked out through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, before we get started tonight, I just want to read something for encouragement for the brothers out there listening, all the brothers who are online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Thank you for joining, listening in. Again, you can call in and talk to us, or you can shoot me a message on the Facebook page. We're on the Facebook page now, the Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you have a question or something and you can't call in, you can send us. You can inbox us there on the Facebook page. Amen. But before we get into the program and bring a guest on, I just want to share something real quick. I'm reading from a book by Charles Stanley, Pastor Charles Stanley, I think it's First Baptist Church in Atlanta, if I remember, because he's been a while along, one of the men and one of the teachers that I'm not connected with, but started reading and listening to when I first got saved, and some of the things that he's teaching. But he wrote a book called Man of God. It's a kind of older book because it's been on my show for a while, but there's a segment here I just wanted to read and understand, because in this culture, in this time, and in this day, manhood is being redefined, marriage is being redefined, and I think we have to find a way as Christian men, as men of God, men of faith, who believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected, and that He will come back soon. We have to be able to identify what a real man is. And it says here, a real man is, he is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacities, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitude and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. So that is a man, and we emphasize that as a definition of a man, is the one who understands, accepts the responsibility, development, and demonstrates it in his life, in all aspects of his life. And here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that's one of the things we want to encourage the brothers, that we demonstrate and live that life. You know, one of the things that we talked about, we talk about a lot when men come together, is we share that sometimes some of us are living double lives. We have one life with our family, we have one life at work, we have one life at church. Well, that's triple. But amen. But some of us just dealing with the our life that we deal with that the public sees, and then our Christian life. And the goal is when we submit unto Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that we would live the same life and have the same character everywhere we go at all times, no matter where we are, what season we're in. Amen. Well, let me get right into the conversation. Again, we're going to be touching on some of the highlights and insights. Praise the Lord, brother. We got someone online, I believe. Your last four numbers are 6439. Good evening.
Good evening, my brother. This is Pastor Joe, Pastor Powell.
Hey, Pastor Joe, thank you. I seen the number, and I hope it was you. Amen. Thank you, brother. I thank you, Pastor, so much. So take your time out and join me tonight. So this is going to be easy because you taught this. So I'm just going to go, and we're going to let you share. But amen. Well, I'm going to give a quick review because this is part two of what we're calling our husband class. And we just touched on some of the highlights from the retreat weekend, and some of the notes and some of the things you got up, and just wanted to be in just a little bit of your in-depth conversation back and forth, and hopefully share with those in the listening audience who weren't at the conference, but yet we just want to encourage them in their marriage, because there's some things that, you know, the word is the word, and sometimes people need to hear and be encouraged, because as we know, in marriage there can be a lot of struggles, ups and downs, and challenges. And we want people to have the insight to understand that they're not, you know, it's not alone, and they're not, whatever they're going through, they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones now. They have not been the only ones. And sometimes we have more in common in our marriages than we are different. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, real quick. So right now we're talking about not your way, but Yahweh. And we're talking about for better, for worse. And that was one of the things you talked about in the conference. I'm gonna go over the bullet points, and I'm going to let you just chime right in and share your insights on some of these. It says that your spouse should be your best friend. And point number two was marriage is about today and tomorrow. Creating a marriage so strong today that they give endurance to marriages tomorrow and the next generation and beyond. Your marriage relationship matters now and for generations to come. And next one is you said be proactive about your marriage legacy. We definitely will come back to that. And that our children and grandchildren will not see biblical love acted out before them from the world's version of love. Those last two, we touched on those a little bit, but I'm going to get your wisdom on it. But let's start with, your spouse should be your best friend. What do you say about that, sir? I mean, how important is that, and what does that mean? In application, what do you say, sir?
Okay, what it means, your spouse should be your best friend. a lot of times we think of our spouse as our lover, our mate, our companion, but our spouse is also our best friend. That should be, other than God, the first person you go to tell anything that's really important. That's the person you should confide in. That's the person you should get advice from. But oftentimes, if we're men, we might have another man we'll go to. And if you're a man, heaven forbid, you should never go to another woman to tell any information, because some information kind of connects you to that person. So that's why I say your spouse should be your best friend. And that means that if you look at it, you love your spouse, but to be somebody's friend, you have to like them also. So you have to love your spouse and like your spouse also. What happened?
I like that. I agree with. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of times you may not feel like loving your spouse, but if you like them, it'll carry you through a multitude of things. I'm not saying that you don't love your wife, but liking them will carry you through a multitude of things. One of the things that get me sometimes after my wife and I have gone through some disagreements or something like that, and she'll say, "I'm not liking you right now." And that means a lot to me when she says that, because I know exactly what she's saying then. Because love is something that comes from your heart. But to like somebody, that's a choice you make too.
Amen. 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 You know, you're right, because I think that the friendship part is important, that, you know, because you can love someone, you know. There's an old saying, I'm not going to use it, but it was exactly, but, you know, I'm in love with a woman I can't stand. And that is a that's so true. It's so true, you know, because we struggle. We struggle with relationships. We struggle with trying to really connect. And I think some of it is, like what you talked about, when we're going through, who do we go to? And I think we try to, you know, we have our friends or our male friends, but we don't really, we try to make the relationship different. But like you say, our spouse should be our first, because our lives are more connected and tied together. If we live in biblical marriage, our lives are tied more connected together than that of any friend that we could have. Okay, how long you knew them, since kindergarten, it doesn't really matter, but your spouse should be able to fill that space, because that's what you're saying about being like. Amen.
I
wanted to go back on one thing. I did want to get your insight in. We talked about men having female friends, and I used to, in a previous program, I talked about guys who have work wives, that they're building these emotional attachments with other women that are not their wives, that's how it starts. That's how I believe that's how the enemy, that's how it starts. The enemy starts to get a foothold, because we're building these quote-unquote friendships and emotional attachment with women that are not our wives. What do you say to that, sir?
Exactly right. We touched on that in the retreat or the seminar, because that's a lie from the pit of hell, that you have a work wife or your wife has a work husband. That those two don't even go together, that connotation. God says that when you look at when he talks about husband and wife, God is very specific about what a husband is and what a wife is. So when you start saying, "I have a work wife," then you're saying, this woman is very important to me, so important to me that she has taken on a role of a wife. That is absolutely incorrect. She may be very important to you at work, your administrator, or she does things, but she is not your wife. Wife is only, that title wife is only assigned to one person, not somebody you work with. So that's a dangerous situation, because when you start saying my work wife, then like you said, it has the tendency to might lead to something else, because you start trusting that person and confiding in that person, and that's a very dangerous situation.
Amen, sir. Amen. I agree. We don't keep going because I wanted to get you in touch with some of the other things, because when you taught it at the conference, you know, we were a little back and forth and a lot of the stuff you shared. Well, first let me do this. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience? Your ministry, your name of your ministry, and how long you and your wife have been married.
Okay, the name of our ministry is Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, located at 508 McCormick Drive in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And that ministry, I'm the senior pastor there. That ministry has been there for 11 years now. And my wife and I have been married coming up, praise the Lord, this July, it would be 43 years. And like I said at the conference, she was 6 and I was 5 when we got married. Coming
okay,
up.
Okay, got it.
That was a joke for everyone. In case
y'all could have been patrolled to each other. You know, promised by your families. Your parents arranged the marriage, so you just had to wait. You know.
Right,
I understand. It's possible.
And one thing I want to say too, that even though we'll be coming up on 43 years, and I specifically made mention of this at the conference, is that even though we've been married 43 years, our marriage is not perfect, because no marriage is perfect. When you look at it, it's two imperfect people, and they have to come together in one perfect God. So our marriage is not perfect, and we fight too.
Amen. Amen. I know. That's one of the things you have to understand. I know that sometimes people think people have been together so long, they agree on everything, but trust me, stay married and you realize that's not true. But, you know, put it this way, you don't fight like you used to, and you don't argue over things that you used to argue over. How about that?
that is definitely correct, because what tend to happen after you've been married for a while, you tend to pick your battles. You start thinking, is this really worth me starting an argument because she didn't put the toilet paper on the right way, or I didn't let the seat down? Is this really worth fighting about? So you pick your battle, what you're going to, you subconsciously picking that, is this worth really fighting over? And then she's walking around for 2 or 3 days, not talking to me or whatever. So like you said, you learn to fight differently. In the first few years, you fight about everything because each person is trying to get their way. Each person is trying to win. But one thing is, when you try to win, you actually lose. Everything has to be win-win. Because if you think about it, if you win over your wife, you actually lost.
Amen, amen. Amen. Well, gentlemen, I hope you took that wisdom in. I just gave you 3 minutes of some strong wisdom that can get you through the next 5 years of your marriage. Amen. Pick your fights. Realize what you're battling for, what you're fighting, why are you really disagreeing? And is it really that important? I think that's what we have to do to evaluate. And I think that comes with maturity. And as we mature and get older, we realize what's really important and what's really not. Because, like I say, you know, after a couple of years, there's certain things that come that you down the road, you look back on it, so you don't even realize, what were we even arguing about that for? But, you know, you have to hang in there. Well, Pastor, let me go. I'm going to move on to some of the other topics we talked about here, because we talked about marriage relationships. Protecting your marriage for your legacy, and our children and grandchildren will not see biblical love acted out before them from the world's version of love. So that's two things, because in our previous segment, in one of our previous shows, one of the brothers that was on, we talked about this, that if we look around the world and the culture, especially in the Western cultures, not so much in what they call, quote unquote, the developing world, but in Western culture, marriage and the definition of marriage and how marriage looks is changing. And it's going to, and I believe this, that the body of Christ in the Western culture, a man and a woman as a marriage and as a married unit is not going to be the norm. And I think the church we already have a responsibility. But I think in this area, the body of Christ, I mean, the Bible-believing, God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled folk, a man and a woman in marriage is going to have to be an example for a lost and dying world. What do you say, sir?
I totally agree with you, because that segment was under the title when we did that was under Not Your Way, But Yahweh, because God defined marriage. It was the first institution he ever created with Adam and Eve. God loves marriage, and because God loves marriage, the devil, the enemy, hates marriage. So the devil is trying to destroy anything that God created. And if you really look at marriage, once you grasp what marriage really is, it's not only the first institution created by God, and it should be by God's rules. He wrote the blueprint on it. It's right there in the Bible. But so it's not only is it God's institution and God's blueprint for marriage, but also when you really look at it, our marriage says more about God than it does about us, because everything should be within his boundaries, his definition, and what he says about marriage. So it says more, our marriage says more about God to the world than it does us. Because some people might write in or call in to you with this statement, but a Christian couple, there is no way that you say we couldn't get along or we're going to break up. Because if you're both Christian, that means Jesus is the mediator in your marriage. That means you have to hang in there. So marriage, the world is going to start. They've already tried to change the definition of what marriage is. And if you go by what society say, you're going to have a messed up marriage, because there's such a thing as open marriage. It's defined different ways. And TV and society, Facebook, everything try to define marriage. But the true definition of marriage is really what God says about marriage.
And you touched on a point too. I want to go back. That was earlier in our conversation, but yeah, I think that's the thing too, for the body of Christ, for everyone who's listening, for the men listening that you profess to be Christians, you profess to be men of God, you confess to be saved and disciples of Jesus Christ. And even for our spouses, if Christ is in the center, I think that is the foundation, that if we are submitted unto Christ, there's a way, there's a word, there's a release, there's a forgiveness, there's repentance, there's love, there's long suffering, there's a lot of things as Christians that should kick in when it comes to our spouse. Because if we can't do it at home, how can we reach a world, or how can we evangelize, how can we reach a lost and dying world, how can we reach the unsaved if we can't live out those principles that teach us how we should treat the world if we're not treating it in our marriages? You see what I'm saying, Pastor? That's why I wanted to put that there, because you said that. That's how important it is. If you say you're a Christian, both of you, because now if one's Christian and one is not, that's a different conversation. But if we both confess to be Christians, now, how are we living out the scripture to be that our marriage, that whatever comes up in our marriage, there should be a solution if Jesus is in the middle? What do you say, sir?
Amen. Amen. And if you think about it, you said a mouthful right there, because if we're both Christian, if we're both confessing Christ, we both have the same Jesus, we both have the same God, we both should be going to the same place for answers. And God doesn't change his responses about marriage. And matter of fact, marriage is so important to God. If you think about it, when the Bible talks about all of us, all the saints getting to heaven, they call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's how important it is. God compared that get together to marriage here on earth. That's how important he sees marriage. So what that means is, for any of the brothers who are on the line, if you are a believer, then that means your source and your resource should be Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that sounds so good.
Amen. I'll say it
again. Your source and your resource should be Jesus Christ. That's
amen,
a preaching
amen.
Right there.
Yeah, that's preaching. That's what we do. Sometimes we have to talk. We have to talk about it to get it to sink in. Because that was something that I know I've said it here. That's why. And let me say this: I've been married how long have I been married? 35 years. And me and my wife have known each other since we were teenagers in 1977. And I tell folk all the time the reason that we go. Well, a short sharing of testimony was me and my wife. Well, my wife came to Christ first, but we were already married 15 years. And then when I came to Christ, and the thing that really saved my marriage was that we came under a good teaching, a married couple who were committed to each other. And it was suggested to us that we go through new couples orientation and marriage ministry. Because he was doing new couples ministry. It was a teaching going on at the time, and he suggested that we go so that we can understand what it means to be husband and wife, even though we were together 15 years already, almost 20, really. You know what I mean? And then that is why even now at 35 years of marriage, I still go to marriage conferences and have these opportunities to get the reinforcement. And I think young folk think, you're not young folk, I don't want to pick on you, but sometimes you think you all got it together. Because there's two kinds of married couples. The married couples think they all got it together, they don't need no help. And then those who don't want to go because they don't want nobody to know that they might think they're having problems if they're going to a marriage conference all the time. You know, but you're supposed to be able to fine tune. You have to learn. You're growing and learning in your marriage. And a lot of people, and I think that it hinders a lot of folk that I've heard over the years on why they don't go to such marriage things, this, that, and the other thing. They have a lot of excuses, but I don't think they realize that they're not putting the real time in being around other couples, especially couples that have been married longer than you, to let you know what you're going through or even what you may be getting ready to go through. It's not unique, but it's just a challenge. And need to know that your faith needs to kick in, you know, because I believe this, that our, as Christian couples, we have advantage over the non-believer or even other people of other religions, because other religions teach different things for roles as husband and wife, different from what the Bible teaches. But if we would only submit ourselves unto the Bible and unto Scripture, I think a lot of the things that we deal with in marriage can be worked through, but I don't think we have a real problem. And with that, I'm going to transition into the S word. Because we as individuals, as husbands, we have to learn to submit. And before we can ask our wives to do anything. So, Pastor, I'm going to let you go in on that. That submission part, what it means for us as husbands, because remember, this is the husband class. We're talking to a couple of guys who've been married between 5 and 15 years, or that brother who's on his second marriage, and he may not have got that submitting part right, and what's it mean for the husband. What do you say, sir?
Right, yeah. A lot of times when we brothers, and particularly the world, hear the word submit, the world looks at it as submitting as a bad word. I'm not going to submit to nobody. I'm a grown man or I'm a grown woman. But the Bible, one of the biggest words in the Bible is submit. Jesus submitted to Father God. Jesus the Son submitted to Father God. So he always tells us submit. And the word submit in the Bible actually means, it's a military word to mean come in alignment. Jesus came into alignment with God. We as the husbands are supposed to come in alignment with Jesus, but when we hear the word submit, we think it's just for the wife. But submit in actuality just means come in alignment, because God always has an order. So for our wives to submit to us, we're supposed to be submitting to Jesus Christ. And a husband who submits to Jesus Christ, it won't be hard for the wife to start submitting to him. Some of them are a little hard-headed, let me say that. But your duty as the husband is still to come into submission with Jesus Christ. Whether she submits to you or not, it's still your responsibility to submit to Jesus Christ. And then the Bible sums up the whole thing by saying we're submitting to each other. The Husbands submit to some of the things the wife wants. The wife, by definition, submits to the husband, and the husband submits to Jesus Christ. So there you have that triangle, that we are both submitting to Jesus Christ, and the wife is submitting to the husband, who submits to Jesus Christ. And when that loop is broken, that's when trouble starts. So
amen,
I like
amen.
That,
and that's
what submission is a dirty word in marriages nowadays.
Amen. And that's where we, you know, we talked about that before. If we take our cues from the culture, we're going to be lost. It's going to be terrible. And if we allow our children to, and not so much see it, but think that's the norm and think that's the way it's supposed to be, we're really in trouble, because the generation behind us is where we have the greatest effect on what they see as the norm and what not the norm. You know, I like to always say, you know, if we can do the best we can, because we all come from different backgrounds, depending on how our family, how our parents' marriage relationship was, and what we saw. And I think that's some of the things we also have to deal with, is, you know, because you can't tell, you trust me, a man or a wife, you can't tell them that their parents wasn't the best parents ever and their marriage was perfect
right.
And yada, yada, yada. And they take their cues from that, not knowing, you know, because I said this once before, but you don't know what your parents put up with to stay together. Because, again, if we remember, we were children, and unless your household was way out of control, you really don't know what back and forth your parents went through to stay together and to make the marriage work, you know. And but we only see the bright side, the cheery side, and we don't understand the day-to-day, because marriage is day-to-day, moment by moment, year by year, and we're dealing with everything. And I'll say this to anybody who's listening out there, you know, if you've got brothers and sisters, just remember, your parents were young parents with three or four little kids running around, and they made it. So you parents out there right now thinking y'all getting overwhelmed, trust me, you're not the only one, and other couples have made it. I just wanted to give a word of encouragement there, because between this 5 and 15 years, if you've got 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and you've got 3 or 4 of them, that can put a stress on the marriage also. Amen? So
earlier you had said, I want to go back to a statement you said earlier. You said about marriage being hard work, and some of us don't want to put in the hard work of going to marriage seminars or marriage retreats. Even with my wife and I been married 43 years, we belong to a national marriage ministry that we volunteer at least 2 conferences a year. And during the conferences, we sit in and listen to some of the things they're saying when we're not working, because I'll be the first to say, marriage is hard work. And you have to put in the hard work every single day. There's not a brother out there who's listening who doesn't put in the hard work for his job. He knows he has to go to work every day. He has to work 8 hours or so. He has to put in the hard work to get a raise, to get an increase, to be promoted on his job. Same thing in your marriage. You have to put in the hard work. You just can't get lackadaisical about it and say, okay, this is going to get better. No, it won't. You have to put in the hard work. And even if your marriage is what you call okay, you wouldn't let your car go without changing the oil in it periodically. Same thing with your marriage. Every now and then you have to get the oil checked and see what's going on with your car or your marriage. So marriage is hard work.
Amen. Amen. I agree. You have to. But you should want to. Again, this is your spouse. If we go back to, if we just fall back to the basics of marriage, you as a husband, as a man, you pursued someone's daughter, you sought them out, you built a relationship, and you asked her to marry you. You asked her to come, be your spouse, be your companion, start a new family. And if you're in the body of Christ, you ask her to be one with you and get one flesh with you and build a relationship. Now, what are you willing to do to keep that thing going? you know, and that's where we have to take time and look at it. Because like you say, we'll put time in, because we can go out here this weekend and Saturday. If it's a nice sunny day, how many brothers out there going to be working on their car, doing something to their car? If it's running, now they're going to be out there washing and waxing it. I'm just saying.
Mm.
or even the yard or the housework. We do all these things because we value those things. So now the challenge is, how much value do you put in your relationship, in your marriage? And how much time are you putting in to improve it, to shape and mold it? Because, again, as the husbands, this is our responsibility. And I think that's something that slips by in the culture and even a little bit in the church, that as husbands,
and that was good.
We are responsible.
I like what you said, that you put value in those things, your car, your house, your lawn, your clothes, your stereo system. You put value in those things and you take care of them. But if you go back even to the book of Genesis, when God first created marriage, he bought Eve to Adam as a gift. So your spouse, your wife, is God's gift to you. It might not be the gift that you wanted, but it's definitely the gift that God knew you needed. So he wants you to value your spouse and take care of your spouse, because this is a gift that he gave to you. And anything that God gives you, you shouldn't mess over it.
That's a word. That's a word. That's a word. It's so much. But, you know, Pastor, hopefully someone's being encouraged, because I understand. But let me say, I want to say this too, Pastor, because you said it too, and I say it about my marriage. Our marriage is not perfect, but we're pressing into the thing. And I want to encourage a brother out there who's on the fringe, on the border, whatever's going on, if you don't give up, if you focus on God, love your wife, you know, and together take on the challenges. You know, it's something that I shared at the conference, that there was, you have to come, I believe, in your marriage, you have to come to the point where it's you and your wife against and everybody else. And I think that, that takes time. I don't know how long it really takes, because emotionally and physically and all that. But you really have to get to the place where it's your spouse, husband and wife, and then it's everybody else. And sometimes that even means the kids. So, Pastor, I'm going to let you jump in there, because you got grown kids and you got grandkids. So that advice to some, even when it comes to the children, you have to, it's them, it's you, and it's them. You know, and 'cause, you know, sometimes children can, I don't know, they bring the pressure on. I personally never got to that for me, but I've known couples who struggle because of arguments with the kids. Because again, I think it goes back to how each of us was raised and what we're bringing into the family structure and the family dynamic. Because if we had a certain kind of childhood, now we want our kids to have a different kind of childhood, because we don't think our childhood was that great, or the way we did, the way my parents did it, the way I want to do my kids, but that's not how your spouse was raised. What wisdom do you have for that, brother, Pastor?
Right. When kids add a extra dimension to any marriage relationship, and when I counsel couples, I always tell them, try not to have kids for the first year, maybe first 2 years, so you can get to know each other, because that relationship is supposed to last forever. And when kids come into the mix, it changes everything. And I'm going to say this too for the brothers and other people on the line. God has a specific order. Most of the time we think of it as God, family, and then everything else. But God is very specific about it. It's God, spouse, children, and then everything else that you want to fit under it. And the reason I say that is God, spouse, children, is because that's the family right there. And your children should never come before your spouse. If your children become first over your spouse, then you're starting to say your kids are more valuable than your spouse. And your kids one day will pack up, hopefully, and leave the house. But you still will be there with your spouse. That's the primary relationship that God wants you to take care of, is a relationship with your spouse. And I like how you said that nothing should come between your spouse and you. That means that no matter what, you're going to stand up, you're going to protect her, you're her first advocate, because wives want to be protected. And most of the time, we brothers think, okay, if somebody's breaking in the house, I'm going to protect her and defend her. That's part of it. But a wife feels protected when she knows that, okay, no matter if whatever somebody says about me or try to do to me, my husband has my back. So the wives like to feel protected. And if you let children come in between, that's another diversion from the enemy right there. He would try to break it up, and I love all my kids, all my grandchildren, but they know Poppy comes first with his wife.
Amen and amen. And then you got to understand, too, that they have to see that. So when it's time for them to start building their families, they know that's the way. Because, again, these things are legacy. This is how it's passed down. And that's the important part when we talk about legacy. Because, like I said before, you know, the true biblical vision of what marriage is going to look like is going it's going to depend on the Christian church. It's going to depend on us as Christians on how on what's going to be, how's it going to be, because it seems like I don't know. The culture is gone. I mean, the general culture, like you said, of media, the social media, all that. I think the snake is out of the box. It's wide open now, but the church
right, it's out of control.
It's out of control. So the church, the body of Christ, as Christians, I'm not going to go to all the other faiths because they have a formula, but some of them are a little off also. But for the Christian, for the Bible believing Christian. That what God said about marriage is one man and one woman for to death do us part, that we are one flesh, that is going to have to be an example and be able to stand out. And we're called to, again, to bring to be salt and light, and I think this is one of the areas. Because without family, if families start to break down, if anybody open their eyes and look around, the breakdown of the family is how this all started, the breakdown of the culture, because a lot of things were done because families were breaking up, and a lot of, I don't want to go down that road, but a lot of social programs and the things we have that we take for granted or think they're good things is because the family started breaking up and crumbling. Amen?
Right. You're right on that, because I said earlier in the discussion that God created marriage, God set the boundaries for marriage, God set the definition for marriage. God loves marriage, therefore the devil, our enemy, hates marriage. So he'll do anything he can to break up a marriage, because marriage is the foundation for all of society. If you look at it, if I don't know how many brothers out there have been in the military, and when you come to fighting units, it goes all the way up to platoons and divisions or whatever, but the smallest group or the smallest part of any military or whatever is the one with two or three soldiers. That's what God has, the squad called marriage, the team called marriage. That's the foundation he starts with. So that's how the devil tries to destroy society and the world. He attacks the basic unit, the marriage. He goes after that first. So if you get, I think it was Tony Evans said, and I may not paraphrase it exactly, he says, if you destroy the marriage, then there goes the town. And if you destroy the town, there goes the county. Destroy the county, there goes the state. And it works its way all the way up through society. So the devil starts at the very smallest fighting unit, the marriage. And what he tries to do, is get what the Bible calls the strong man out of the house, out of the relationship, out of the marriage, and then he just goes after everything and runs amok.
Amen, amen. You know, Pastor Joe, you're right, and I think that's one of the things. But again, we're here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and this is Husbands Class 201. talking about marriage. We're giving you highlights and insights given from the past conference this year from Jesus Lives Ministries Family Retreat. It's about being real in marriage. And my guest today, brother called in, Pastor Joe called in because he was a facilitator. And I thank God that he took the opportunity to come and share some of his insights and wisdom that we've just encouraged one another. Encourage one another in our marriages. Encourage each other no matter what you're going through, no matter what the struggles are, no matter what's going on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Press in. Pray. And one thing, Pastor Joe, I'm going to come with, because we talked about this at the retreat, the importance of counseling. You know, mm-hmm. You talked about that a little bit at the retreat. But if you need, Pastor Joe, I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to say, I'm going to throw it to you right here. But if you know you need some Christian, biblical counseling, professional counseling, please seek it. Pastor Joe, what do you say, sir?
Yes, indeed. For the people on the line, I am a counselor. I have my doctorate degree in pastoral counseling, and my wife and I counsel pre-married couples and as well as married couples. But yes, get counseling. A lot of people are too ashamed to get counseling because they don't want people to know my marriage is messed up, my marriage is jacked up, but they know already by looking at you. So get the counseling. It's no shame in your game to get counseling because sometimes, well, let me change that. Most of the time, you might need that third person in your marriage who can look at things differently because it's always the brother's side, there's always the wife's side, and somewhere in between is the truth. So that counselor acts as a third person who's not attached to either one or the other. It's a third party who see things differently than what you see. Because sometimes we look at something for so long, we miss all the details of it. I've had people come in my office, and since we're talking about husband, they tell me, my wife this, my wife that, my wife this, my wife that. And I was like, so you're the perfect one. Well, no, I won't say I'm perfect. I said, so you contributed something, right? So, yeah, then you get to see things from a different aspect. So, yeah, go for that counseling. It doesn't have to be, let me amplify with this. It does not have to be the pastor at your church, but it should be godly counseling. At the retreat, I heard someone said they had gotten counseling, and it turned out that counseling didn't work out. And later on, even the counselor got divorced from their mate. So you don't want that kind of counseling. Make sure it's godly counseling, because that counsel comes from the Word of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I have my guest here this night with Pastor Joseph Powell from Covenant Lifehouse Ministries in Hanover, Maryland. And I appreciate you, Pastor, for taking time out and joining us tonight and sharing your insight.
Thank you.
Being that you were the man, you were the facilitator, so you had the insight and God used you to speak into those couples. Because I was blessed, and some of the others were blessed. And we had a good time, but I think we just wanted to, again, use this opportunity to share, to encourage the husbands out there, the couples that are listening here, because we have wives and women who sneak in on the line and listen, Pastor. So and hopefully
okay.
They're being encouraged also. But again, it's just Christian Minister. I'm here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You also can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast and archive of this show and all our previous shows. It's also when you're on the website, if you see the follow button on the right-hand side, if you click that, and it'll give you an opportunity to connect with us so when new shows are being broadcast or uploaded, you'll get a notification. You also can reach out on us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook page. We post the devotionals. We post upcoming men's events, men's breakfasts, men's conferences. If you're having one, a gathering of your men, please share it with us. We post it because we never know when a brother might need a place to stop in, stop by, drop by, to be encouraged by godly men, to be asked somebody to pray or just hear a word that will help him go on for one more day, that he might not give up, he might not leave his marriage, he might not you'd be surprised. A lot of people just, they're ready to give up. They're ready to give up, seriously give up, and they just need a word. They need someone to say something to them. And if you might be having a men's gathering, men's breakfast, men's Bible study, they can be encouraged to just make it one more day that God can still use them. Pastor Paul, if you could, sir, I appreciate it. You have the closing remarks, and you can pray us out. And again, thank you so much for giving me this time and sharing, and bless your family, your wife, and your children and grandchildren. And thank you, sir, so much. I appreciate you.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for having me on tonight and sharing some words of wisdom, and all of those words of wisdom, mostly from the Bible, but some of them were through the school of hard knocks, some things the Lord had to teach me. So I would advise everyone to just work hard at your marriage. And with that, I'll have a word of prayer with everyone. Lord God, we thank you, O God, for blessing us on this evening. We thank you for Deacon Farr, Lord, who you have given the gift and the talents to have this radio broadcast. We thank you for the listeners that he's gathering, Lord, and for the good work he's doing to help men to become better husbands. We pray, O Father, for those who are on the line this evening, the brothers and even the women who may have been on there, that they realize that marriage is about you. Marriage is more about you than it is for us. It's marriage is defined by you, by your boundaries, your rules, and your definition. And for those brothers who are listening, Lord, and going through trouble in their marriage and hurts and pains in their marriage, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you gave them some wisdom on this evening just to hang on, because it's never over until you say it's over. And when it comes to marriage, Lord, you never want to see divorce. So we thank you, O God, for blessing us, blessing the hearers. We pray that your word sank in on this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. Again, thank you, Pastor, and God bless you.
Oh, bless you too, man.